Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it no matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're going through. The thing is you're going through it. Don't get stuck there. Amen? Would you turn to Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5. Glory to the Lamb. In verse 16, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or desire. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is a very, very powerful statement, because these are things that the enemy loves to attack us on and bring into our lives or cause us not to let go of these things. And the kingdom of God, he says, you may not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to understand something. He's not just talking about eternal life, because that could be the end result. But he's talking about the manifestation of God's kingdom right here also. Because there are things that the enemy does not want the kingdom of God to manifest in you and through you. And that's the power of Christ, isn't it? Remember, we have inherited dominion, power, and authority. And because of this inheritance that's been given to me and you as believers, the enemy doesn't want us to use those or tries to nullify them or disqualify them. And in this area, these things that we just talked about of idolatry and fornication and adultery, these are things which we call options. Options in our life. Has everybody got it? These are options. And one of the things that the Spirit has put on my heart is options, opportunities, and choices. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Options, opportunities, and choices. And one of the things he's asking us to do today is remove options. We must begin to remove options from our life. Go to John 14. We are in a transition. There's a transition in the Spirit right now. It's not only a shift, but it's a transition. And in this transition, there is a shaking. And in this shaking right now, God is causing things to move in another direction. And I believe sometimes that we move in directions where the Spirit is taking us. And every time that there's a move in another direction, the Spirit takes us, people begin to go another direction. Every time, it's amazing, because everybody I've even talked to in ministry, every time that the Spirit is bringing them into another direction, they lose people. Because one of the things that people don't like to do is change. They want to stay comfortable. They don't like change. And in this, God is trying to constantly change us more and more into his image and likeness and character. And there is a transition that's going on even in this ministry right now. There is a change. There is a shift and change that's happening. And there will be those who are willing to do whatever it takes and hold on with the change. And there will be those who will run because they don't want to change. They say that they're going to change, but they're not willing to change. Are you understanding? See, in this, it takes cooperation, doesn't it? Because you can't change yourself. And you may think that you made it already. Well, you're deceived. Because nobody's made it. Amen? None of us has made it yet until That day we give up our last breath and we hear, enter in my good and faithful servant. That's when you made it. Other than that, nobody's made it yet. Nobody has it all. There isn't one ministry, one pastor, or any church that has it all. None of us do. In fact, you can put us all together and we still don't have it all. But there are different functions and purposes of each fellowship. And we talked about some of these things before. We're out here in the park. What the next move God is going to do, I'm not sure. But I believe it's going to be a constant arena in the area that we are going to be an open ministry, open to everyone, an open with a ministry, a church with no walls. And in this, as the Lord begins to make the transition, he's bringing people together, he's unifying, he's establishing, he's perfecting, he's loosening, he's shaking, and he's causing more death. Hello? Because things don't grow unless they first die. Hallelujah. I was talking to a pastor who was telling me that they had a 500 people in their congregation, and the Lord did a shift and a transition. They went down. They had a lot of money in their account. They went down in the hole because of the shift. They went down to a few people, and he didn't know what was going on. And the Lord visited him and gave him revelation because things were going great. But there was a shift, and there's a shift going on right now. And it's unification of the body. Not only is it unification of the body, but it's an area where there's about to be an explosion of the move of the Holy Spirit, even greater than ever. You know, the Word says that you and I will do greater things in Christ. You know, but it's amazing that the Word says that we're not above our master. That means in pride. We're not above our master, but our master is going to allow us to do more things and greater things than he did. And that's about around the corner. And when I say around the corner, that means that there's a shift so that we're going to meet him around the corner. Hello. Hallelujah. And John 14. In verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? The way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. This is such a powerful statement. And in this, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we've talked about this before, about Jesus being the way, about the cross, the dissension and resurrection, about the three chambers of the tabernacle, the outer court, the holy place, the most holy place. But in this is another area, and this is called options, opportunities, and choices. Even through representation of Jesus saying, I'm the way. The way, because options are always associated with a way. Which way? Truth is also associated with opportunities. And life is a choice. So there's options, opportunities, and a choice. Every option has an opportunity to make a choice, doesn't it? Every option has an opportunity to make a choice. An option is the pathway of choice. Options are pathways of choice. Opportunity is a time of availability to access. I'm going to say this again. An option is the pathway of choice. An opportunity is a time of availability to access. And a choice is the decision to allow access or stop access. To allow access or stop access. I'm going to say this one more time. An option is the pathway of choice. These are pathways. An opportunity is a time of availability to access. And a choice is the decision to allow access or stop it. Options are way. As Jesus said, I am the way, those are options. I am the truth, those are opportunities. And I am the life, that's a choice. Is everybody okay? In Luke 4. Options, opportunities, and choices. Luke chapter 4. In verse 12. Is everybody there? And Jesus answered and said to the devil, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until a what? Opportune time. That means he was waiting for an opportunity available to access. Do you understand that? Then it says, and then Jesus returned to the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding regions. So again, it was an opportune time. Let me tell you, you can rest assured that the enemy is looking for an opportune time to access me and you. Amen? It was an opportunity. Again, options to access. These are options to access by a manipulated choice. Now, one of the things the enemy likes to do in temptation is manipulate you to choose. Everybody strap in and hold on. I want you to grab hold of this now. These are places where the opportune time, it's an opportunity for the enemy to access you. He's always trying to access you. Now in this, he tries to access us by manipulated choice. In other words, this choice, he's trying to manipulate you, and it's usually aggravated, hello, or manipulated by pride, fear, greed, or ignorance. Pride, fear, greed, or ignorance. Make sure you get this all down, man. It's important. You got to be able to teach this. This is essential for what's happening right now in the transition. Because we must begin to look at these options that are causing things in our life in another direction. There's got to be places where there are no longer options in your life. Are you listening? There are things that are ungodly options. They must be removed. In Luke 22. So, in these areas that we talked about in Galatians, the works of the flesh, those are ungodly options. Those should not be an option as a believer. It's not an option for me and you to fornicate. It's not an option to lie. It's not an option. These are not options. It's not an option to go back and use drugs and alcohol. It's not an option. And unless you make it, and if you still allow it to be an option in your life, it still waits for access then. Every option has an emotional attachment to it. Every option has an emotional attachment to it. Luke 22 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Verse 1. Luke 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they what? Feared the people. So they were considering, the option was, we need to kill Jesus because they what? Feared. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then what? Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him, Jesus. And they were glad and agreed to give him what? Money. What was the option? Greed and what? Money, right? That was the option, wasn't it? So he promised and sought what? Opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. So the option was greed. And he was looking for the opportunity was to access at a certain time so that he can turn Jesus over to them. And his reward would have been what? His choice. Now, here's the choice part, life or death. He didn't realize that his option was causing him to make the choice of death. His choice was death. How many options are in your life that if you allow them access can kill you? The Bible says that the wages of sin is what? Death. You know, think about this, how many options are in your life. Listen, if you still have an option, you know, people call it Plan B. Well, I have another plan. Well, is that option a godly option or is it a godly? Is it the will of God or not the will? Is it the will of man? Is it the will of desire? What is that option? Options must be removed from our life that are ungodly. In other words, as a believer, fornication is not an option. Even as an unbeliever, it's not really an option. You know? As a believer, greed is not an option. As a believer, touching unclean things is not an option. If you're still allowing it to be an option in your life, then the devil's going to have access to you to steal, kill, and destroy. These are options. You know, many people, you know what? Going back to your past is not an option. That's not an option to go back. Going back to drinking and using drugs is not an option. These cannot be options in our life. If there's still an option in your life, that means there's an emotional attachment with it and you haven't let it go yet. If you think about that, if that's the one thing that hinders you when you fall into trials and tribulations, if that's still an option in your life, you're in trouble. Are you listening? That means that the devil is knocking at your door. And that's all you need to do is go grab the doorknob and he'll open it for you. Because what you've done is touched and agreed with it. Well, I didn't open it. Yeah, you agreed with it. You opened it. There's two options here. Judas had two options, the presence of God or money. Money was a stronghold, the emotional attachment. The opportunity to ask Judas was granted by the choice he made, motivated by greed. Amen? Romans 7. The word says, he's in Christ, a new creation. Old things pass away and all things become new. Well, that's your choice, isn't it? So you must begin to remove options that would bring back the old. Romans 7. And verse 7. What shall we say then? Is law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would have not known sin except through the law. For I would have not known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin taking what? Opportunity. What's sin? Presence of evil. Sin is the presence of evil. And what was he looking for? An opportunity. But sin taking opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of what? Evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death because it exposed. It brought accountability. See, people think that options, these things that are options in our life, it doesn't matter. They think that it just let it stay there and it'll be okay. But we've got to have an accountability. And you and I are responsible and accountable to remove these options from our life. It says that we're to remove everything, aren't we? Every hidden sin. Every hidden thing. All of these are options that can open the door to the enemy in our life. So, sin is the presence of evil looking for an opportunity to access by an unhealthy or ungodly available option. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. In verse 10, let's read it together. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the region of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may what? Cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if these his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Wow. So Paul was saying, look, we need to cut off the opportunity by removing the options that allow access. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 12. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, which is freedom. Only do not use liberty as a what? Opportunity to the for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. So we've got to be careful about these access to the flesh. In other words, the enemy is always looking to activate the flesh. And he sets up opportunities. And these opportunities are set up by options. Every option will lead to an opportunity to access me and you. In 1 Corinthians 10. You know, we talked about the giants in our way. You've been praying those? Praying for everybody here? Praise God. 1 Corinthians 10, 22. Let's start at 21. Is everybody there? 1 Corinthians 10, 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are what? Helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. So we got to be careful in these options, because in this, it could have an opportunity for access to the flesh. Are you listening? All things are lawful. In other words, well, it looks harmless. You know, one of the things of options is it means that there's still a hope. It could be a false hope of an option. It could be another way of escape. But it's going in the wrong direction. Has everybody got this? See, so whatever ungodly options are, they always have an opportunity and you always have the choice to choose. And one of the things we want to do is choose life and not death. So we must begin to remove the options in our life. We do not have an option to go back. We do not have an option to touch unclean things. We don't have an option to drink. We don't have an option to use drugs. We don't have these options anymore. They are done and over with, because it will give an opportunity for the devil to access you. We don't have an option for the works of the flesh. Those are not options. They will nullify the kingdom of God to manifest in your life. I mean, we've got enough struggles, amen? Let's get rid of these options in our life that are ungodly. Galatians 2. It's amazing. People don't realize that some of these options are pure evil, and they pet them. They still hold on to them. You know, if it's amazing in the area where if we would sever all options, that means we'd have to finish what God asked us to do. Amen? If we would sever all of these options, we'd have to finish what God said to do. Hallelujah. If there was only one discipleship drug program, there wouldn't be another option, would there? So if you got offended at one, you couldn't go to another. You'd have to complete it. Well, you know, when people go to jail, there's not another option. You don't get to choose what jail you go to. You go to jail and you have to complete it. Now, there'll be an opportunity that will come that you'll have an opportunity to choose what you do when you get out. Those options are either godly or ungodly. We minister in the jail all the time. And let me tell you, people will start off all right, but when it's time to get out, there is an opportunity available for them, good and evil, righteous and unrighteous. And many of them, while they're in jail, they take the option of, they got a plan when they get out. Yes, I'm going to do the right thing. But as soon as they get out, woohoo. Because of the manipulated choice, they chose death instead of life. But they didn't realize they chose death. Because there's either the pathway of life or the pathway of death. There is no other option. There's the pathway of life and there's the pathway of death. Those are the two options. So every option that is in your life is going to lead to life or death. One or the other. That's going to lead to destruction, despair, or prosperity and health. Everybody has an option to drink, to smoke, even though they read it on there. Here's the option. You puff this thing, you can get cancer. You drink this thing, you can become an alcoholic. There's the option. Life or death. Well, how stupid do we need to be and still breathe to choose the death life? Hello. Instead of the life, the death life. How much more do we have to go through and keep choosing the wrong option till we end up in the hospital, in prison, or in bondage? See, we've got to be able to see this all the way through. And that's one of the things the enemy doesn't want you to do. He doesn't want you to see the end result of each option. You must see each option all the way through. Because if you choose the option that looks good but it isn't good and it's not God's will, there's going to be disaster. Galatians 2, verse 17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I what? Destroyed, I make myself a what? In other words, if you build those things again that God has delivered you from, you still left it as an option. And that's an emotional attachment. That means you're still fighting for your life instead of surrendering it. Is everybody okay? For though I through the law died to the law that I might live to who? God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Building on those things that are destroyed, options of emotional attachments of people, places, and things. People, places, and things. Which are opportunities for the enemy to access. Okay, now when you give him an opportunity to access, it is the place where you and I choose, isn't it? So we can either choose life or death, can't we? You can choose obedience or rebellion. You can choose freedom or bondage. You can choose life or death, truth or lies. You can choose the future or the past. You can choose love or hate. You can choose forgiveness or bitterness. All of these areas are options, and each option has an end result. Has everybody got it? Each option has an end result. We must look at the options. The ones that have a bad end result must be removed and severed because they are emotional attachments. They are emotional attachments. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, get rid of your options. Get rid of your options that are deadly options. Deadly options. They're deadly. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, I believe. Would you read it with me? Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry or idols. Let me share with you again. Options are idols sometimes in our life. They can be an idol. How many know that you can be the idol? Yeah. Opportunities. Make way of escape. Flee from options that promote self. Galatians 6. He makes way of escape for us. But you know what? If you're so caught up and attached to that other option, even when God is trying to make a way of escape for you, you won't listen. You won't listen. I've spoke to people face to face, and the options that they've had there, I can see clearly one leading to trouble and the other one leading to peace, joy, and righteousness and Holy Ghost. And no matter what I say to them, they are not willing to receive it, because you can't counsel a demon until that person gets humble and removes the pride from them. Then they can receive. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we what? Have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Opportunities to do good. In other words, that's an option leading to life in sowing and giving something to the kingdom and expressing doing good for the kingdom, isn't it? Opportunity to good, not an option to promote self. Now, let me share something with you. Divorce is not an option in the eyes of God. But there are certain criterias that he will allow divorce to manifest, because one is promoting the option or instigating the option for divorce. Are you listening? In other words, one of the spouses fornicates, one of our spouses is an addict, never willing to get help, because that's also fornication. You know, people don't realize that alcohol and booze and drugs and all that's another demon, that's a person. Well, I know that when I was an addict, I was in love with the drugs. That was now my spouse. I was willing to give up the one I was married to, my children and everything, to be with the harlot, the cup of demons, the dope. It didn't matter to me then, because I was demonized. So I was actually married to the drugs. My wife had a right to divorce me because I was instigating or promoting by my options divorce. Has everybody got it? So in this, you and I have an opportunity to make the choice and get rid of the options. If I got rid of the options, hello, if I could see it all the way through and severed those options, my wife wouldn't have divorced me because I was the one that was instigating it. So you can instigate it by the options that are involved in your life and give an opportunity of it and making a choice where the enemy is accessing you now. So you and I must take advantage of these opportunities to remove ungodly options. They must be removed. They are false hopes. They are deceptive. They are evil. And it is the presence of evil. It is sin. Judges 13. Running is not an option. Wow. I said running is not an option. Well, you offended me. I'm running. Oh, you poor little flesh creature. You know, there's a difference between the soul, compassion, and the spirit. And I'm not going there. That's a whole nother teaching. People are so soulish. But compassion is the unity of the spirit and God's care, his character, his concern. But some people are soulishly concerned, and they actually cause a stumbling block to someone instead of help them. Judges 13, is everybody there? In verse 1. Let's read this together. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. How would you like to be delivered into the hands of your enemy for 40 years because you did wrong? Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Moiah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to what? Drink wine or similar drink, and not eat anything unclean." So he was giving her options, wasn't he? This was going to have to do with something of the birth of this child. Verse 5. "For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head." So she had to let him know, right? In other words, she couldn't cut his hair nor anyone else. I like that option. "For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very awesome, but I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.'" Wow. So what he was sharing with her is, make sure you remove all options that would cause your son to not fulfill the will of God. Don't drink anything of wine. Don't shave his head. Remove all these options of choice. Remove them. Because these are opportunities for the devil to access him and prevent him from fulfilling his call. Go to chapter 16. "So she did well. And her son rose. His name was Samson. And he was mighty for the Lord. And he kicked a lot of butt." Verse 16. "Now he met this harlot named Delilah. And she was asked by the Philistines to find out the secret of his strength. And they were willing to pay him." So this was Judas in a female body. Hello. Verse 16. "And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, 'No razor shall ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength shall leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man.'" He told her the option. He exposed it. "When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart.' So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' So he awoke from his sleep and said, 'I will go out as before at the other times and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, They bound him with the bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after he had been shaven. Now the Lord of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy." When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our death." Now, Delilah was given the money, her option. Amen. It was greed. Her option was greed. And promoted evil. Samson's disobedience in the area of taking this option and giving it to her. She had the opportunity to access now. It brought bondage to Israel. It promoted evil. It blinded Samson and delayed the plan of God. See, those options should have been removed. If they are not removed from your life, they're still available. 1 Chronicles 21. Is everybody okay? Are you seeing the importance of removing options, ungodly options out of your life? So when you go to somebody's house, if you've were an ex-drug addict and you're free now, and somebody leaves pills, you go to somebody's house, you use the restroom, and there's pills on their counter in the bathroom. If that option has been severed to you, the option to even consider it no longer is there. In fact, you laugh at it when the devil tries to tempt you because it's no longer an option. It's no longer an option. Severing these options is vital, especially in the transition that we're going through right now. And the whole body is going through the transition. It's an area of shaking and cleansing. It's removing the things of past, exposing the options that can cause you to fall. Because God is getting ready to pour out more of His glory. And we must have a pure heart and clean hands. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. Would you read it with me? "Now Satan stood up against Israel, moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, 'Go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring the number of them to me that I may know it.' And Joab answered, 'May the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel?'" So even his servant knew that this was something that should not be an option. "Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Then Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to David, and all Israel had 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not count Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's word was an abominable to Joab." Now listen, I want you to understand something that happened here. David's pride to number, even though he was warned, caused 70,000 to die from pestilence because of his disobedience. That should not have been an option. He knew it. He was told not to. It should not have been an option. When things are still left in your life as an option, not only you suffer, but others around you do. 2 Samuel 11. Is everybody there? In verse 1, 2 Samuel 11, "And it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when" what? "Kings went out to battle." That was not an option, was it? Kings were supposed to be out to battle. That David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon, besieged Rahab, but David remained at Jerusalem. Hello, that was not an option. He chose the wrong thing. That should have not have been an option. These were when kings were supposed to go out and battle. But David allowed an option. How many of you know an option comes from a devil, an ungodly option? Amen. And the option to go, he ignored and used the option to stay. So he didn't obey, he disobeyed, didn't he? Because he had an emotional attachment to home. Are you listening? He had emotional attachment to home. And in this, he stayed. Now, verse 2. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Now Uriah was David's right-hand man beside Joab. The end result of this, because of this option, an ungodly option that David disobeyed, the godly option, David stayed in, so he became a peeping David. He opened the door. The opportunity was there. He accepted it. He made the choice of death. Do you understand this? And in this, he went into Bathsheba. She got pregnant. And by doing this, he chose to kill Uriah, who was her husband. Are you listening to this? This ungodly option promoted murder. The child died. It promoted an ungodly offspring. It brought a curse on the family line. And all of his sons fell into fornication. I want you to see that the options in your life not only affect you, but affect others. And they must be severed. We must remove these ungodly options. So many times we think, well, I'm not hurting anybody else but myself, but that's not true. You're hurting everyone down your family line, and those who live around you, and those who love you and care for you. David did not see it through. Okay, so he made the wrong option of staying at home when he should have been out battling. He still had another option, even though he went on the roof and saw the woman. Especially when he found out it was one of his main right-hand soldier's wife. He had the option of saying, no, this isn't right. And God was making a way of escape for him, but he chose not to escape. And the end result of that also was God would not allow David to build his house, and it was his main desire was to build the house of the Lord. And the Lord said, no, because you shed innocent blood. 1 Peter 5. Options, opportunities, and choices. So you're in financial difficulty. Well, you have the option to tithe and sow, make offerings. Hello? Or steal from God. Of course, you can go the other option, which you used to do, and we're not going there. Hello? 1 Peter chapter 5. You can either believe God and trust Him, or believe man and trust Him. And the word says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and cursed is the man who trusts man. 1 Peter chapter 5, is everybody there? Praise God. In conclusion, verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. An option. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Look at the enemy is not resting. He is active. And he's waiting for that opportunity for you to choose the option he's laid before, or the one that you choose not to remove. And I'm going to close at 1 John chapter 5. Options, opportunities, and choices. You have the option of what you set your eyes to, what you set your heart to, what you set your hand to. Everything is an option. The more options you remove that are ungodly, the less opportunities there are for the enemy to access. In verse 18, let's start at 17. All unrighteousness is what? Sin. And there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the what? Under the wicked. Why? All these things that the enemy has are options. He lays options in everybody's life. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols or options. Amen? Ungodly options. Because ungodly options are idols and emotional attachments. Keep yourselves from them. Expose them. Sever them. Make them not a choice in your life anymore. Make them not an opportunity. Remove these options. And I'm telling you, you'll find more victory in your battles. You'll find favor of God. And you'll find peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit, where the kingdom of God is manifested. Amen? Praise God. Let's lift our hands to heaven and thank him. Lord, we thank you. And we ask you continue to expose these ungodly options and sever these emotional attachments from us. No longer allowing it to be an option. The only option we have is you, your will, your presence, and your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.